And just talk about in his prayer thankfulness to you for what you've done. Right now, we want to read a few scripture as we get ready to receive Holy Communion. You in this room today that have judged harshly others at times, this would be a good time. The Bible said if you would judge yourself, you wouldn't be judged. And this is a good time to get that merciful heart attitude. Amen. There are many people that if I wanted to let memories provoke me to have any bad feelings toward, I could go drag those memories out from the closet, amen, and I could bring them back in the living room of my life, but I have put them in the closet. I have padlocked the door, amen. I'm too busy serving the Lord to think about those things, amen, and I would suggest that you do the same. When we receive Holy Communion, there's no place for anyone except at the mercy seat. Can you say amen? Freely you've received, freely give. Everyone in this room deserves mercy, amen, because God has shown mercy to everybody sitting here. If you're saved, it's because of God's mercy. If you're healed, yes, you had to use your faith, but it wasn't your faith that healed you. It was God's grace and mercy that's allowed that healing to flow to you. Can you say amen? The seat we come to is called the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. What the Lord has done for us is beyond description. And yet I'm going to try to describe just a little bit more of it today. What the Lord has done for you at the cross should hold you in absolute wonder and awe. Amen. In a moment, we're going to prepare our hearts for communion with a Pentecostal congregation in the United Kingdom, in England. And if you think that the old Anglican church is dead, well, it probably is, but that's not the only church around. Can you say amen? The old Anglican church in England needs a mighty revival. Witchcraft is on the top of the list of exciting things in England. Witchcraft is practiced by people who are not just superstitious, unintelligent, backwoods, but by doctors and lawyers and people of status in England. The Harry Potter books come from that occult kind of, and they're exciting, interesting books. I understand. For kids, just like some of the Disney things about the witch and the apple and all of that stuff. But there's a resurgence of the occult in England. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a surge of spiritual awakening and power taking place in England. We're gonna prepare for communion by worshiping for communion with a Pentecostal a church. Just like us. Everybody say, just like us. Aren't you glad we're not the only ones? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And kind of straight-laced, the British are not known for being demonstrative except for Sister Ruth. Can you say amen? She's an exception. We've Americanized Sister Ruth. I miss her this morning. I wish she could join in this today. I want her back. She wants to be back. She's going to come back because they that wait upon the Lord are going to renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Actively pursue him. Praise God. It's all part of this message today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we're going to worship with them. Listen to this scripture. I'm going to read from John 3 and verse 3. Just to prepare our hearts for communion. Let's open our hearts. Let's forgive everybody that that's ever hurt us or harmed us today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's love one another. Let's help one another. Hallelujah. Let's lift one another up. Let's build one another up. Listen to what Jesus said about something that happened as Moses led the children of Israel through their wilderness journey. Listen to what Jesus said. In verse 14 of John chapter 3, Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, if you don't know that story, we're going to read part of it in the Old Testament, because he said, what I'm going to do on the cross is going to fulfill what Moses did as a type of what I was going to do. Every time God delivered, supernaturally provided for Israel, he looked past the present and he looked to Jesus on the cross for every blessing. When there was no water, how did God get the water? What did he tell Moses to do? He told him to take his rod and smite a rock with it. Hit a rock with it. And the people were so complaining, and Moses was so upset with their complaining, because they complained the whole way. God got them out of Egypt. God parted the Red Sea. God destroyed Pharaoh's army, and they still mully grubbed. Amen? It's part of our human nature. I wouldn't want to work at the service desk at Walmart or JCPenney or any of those stores, because I would get so sick and tired of listening to complaints. It almost killed Moses. He wanted to die. He didn't want to kill himself, off himself. He just wanted God to let him drop dead and take his spirit to heaven. This great leader that he saw so many of God's miracles. You know why? Because from daylight till dark, people came to him complaining. And he had to settle and judge all of their complaints and issues. And he got so overwhelmed by it, his father-in-law heard him praying to die. Lord, don't let me fall apart. Don't let me come apart at the seams. Don't let this people see this great, be disheartened by seeing me overcome, me overwhelmed. Let me die! Paul in the New Testament, filled with the Holy Ghost, he never lost his emotions. Isn't that amazing? You get filled with the Spirit, you're still you. You're not able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Can you say amen? You're not faster. You're not faster than a speeding bullet. I mean, I've seen some of you run pretty good, but you're not that fast. Can you say amen? You're not able to stop a locomotive. Can you say amen? Don't even try it. I don't care how anointed you feel. And you can do wonderful things under the anointing, but it doesn't take away your humanity. It doesn't take away the part of you called the soulish part or the emotions. It doesn't take that away from you. People hurt you, you're going to feel the pain. You'll never get above that. Amen? Jesus' heart was broken many times, and our hearts will be broken along the way. But God is the healer. He's got the oil and the wine for every broken heart in this room today. Can you say amen? God is so good. He is so gracious. Listen very carefully. Amen. They complained, and they were good at it. They complained about everything. They complained about the food that God was providing them. And they got to the point that God's provision was something they absolutely despised after a while. They took it all for granted. Amen. I mean, this stuff wasn't bad stuff. They were not on a semi-fast. Morning and night, it rained out of heaven. Food prepared by God. Man, I'd like to have a jar of that. Can you imagine the nutritional value in the Creator who created you? And the Bible said the texture was as coriander seed, and the taste of it was as wild honey. My wife uses Tupelo honey, raw Tupelo honey, to put in her tea. Praise God. Amen. And I tried some the other day. Amen. And it is good. Amen. I made tea with that new coffee maker thingy that instead of boiling it, you just put it in. What do they call that thing? Percolator? No, this thing don't even percolate. This thing just shoots it through there. Yeah, Keurig. You drop one of those little things in it. Out comes your tea. Put Tupelo honey in it. Amen. This was good stuff. What God was giving them was good stuff. It was good to the taste, and it provided everything they needed nutritionally. And you know, after a while, they took it all for granted, and they yearned for the flesh pots of Egypt and said, our soul despises this light bread. We want some chicken and dumplings. We want some prime rib au jus. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to me. Listen. They said this light bread. Amen. No, this is good stuff. This was going to get them all the way through their wilderness situation into the land of milk and honey. Can you say amen? Everybody say milk and honey. Praise God. Honey's good. Sweet to the taste. There are people in church hearing the word of God that people around the world are getting so excited about. It's bringing mighty revival. And to look at their face, their soul loathes this light bread. This is a bread that came down out of heaven. Jesus said, that bread was me. Amen. Amen. They all ate ate that manna. Everybody say manna. Manna. You know what manna means? It means, what is it? Or to put it in better language of our day, what it is. Can you say amen? Amen. That's what manna means. They got out. They saw this stuff raining out of heaven, laying on top of the ground. They said, what it is. What it was. What it will be. Can you say amen? No, they said, what is it? And the word for what is it is manna. Amen. And they all ate that manna. And the Bible said that that bread was a type of something else. Amen. That bread was a type of Jesus. For I am the true bread that comes down out of heaven. And if any man eats of my body, we're going to take a little cracker today. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to crunch on that cracker. What does it represent? Amen. Jesus' body broken. It represents the true bread that came down out of heaven. Can you say amen? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Talking about your spiritual life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Moses smote that rock and water came out. He was, because they complained, he smote it twice. And in his anger, and God said, when you hit it the second time, you messed with the type. And I don't want you messing with the type. And I'm going to have to correct this and I'm going to have to correct you. Because the Bible said they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. You know what that meant? When that water came out of that rock, when Israel moved the next day, that stream, even if they went up a grade, that stream followed them through every twist and turn and grade. Did it say that spiritual rock that followed them? They didn't have to ever look for water again or do without water again. Oh. You didn't hear me. It's just getting exciting. They didn't have to look for it or do without it. They didn't have to ever thirst again. Because they all drank of that spiritual rock. Doesn't say it in the Old Testament. New Testament said that followed them. Can you say amen? They got up the next day and got on the move following the cloud by day. And you know what? The water followed them. Wouldn't it be incredible to watch them going up a hill and watch a stream coming along behind up the hill? Why? How could it do that? Well, if he can get it out of the rock, I guess he can get it up the hill. Can you say amen? I mean, he's God or he isn't. I mean, this is one of those tis or taint situations. Either a tis or a taint. Can you say amen? Come on, you got to let God be God. I'm not asking you to check your brain at the door. I'm asking you to be smart enough to acknowledge that there's a creator that did all of this and can do anything he wants to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Amen! Oh, yeah! Praise the Lord! I don't know where the excitement meant in many people's life, but that bumper sticker in some faces in this room just don't match. Can you say amen? That testimony, Jesus is your answer. Have you looked in a mirror lately? Can you say amen? If Jesus is the answer, it's time to brighten up. It's time to get enthusiastic. It's time to reflect that to a lost and dying world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. These are exciting days, for we are in the kingdom for such a time as this. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're the last day people. We're the tough ones. We're God's diehards. Praise God. Amen. God asked us to stay alive spiritually while a lot of churches are dying. God asked us to stay enthused when a lot of people have lost their vision, lost their testimony, lost the heart for God. But God asked us to be His vanguard. Praise God. We have the Holy Spirit. More importantly, He has us when we surrender. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They all drank out of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Can you say amen? When they stopped to camp at night, they heard the sound like a fountain. They heard bubbling waters. And they looked around and the stream came, began to pool. And they all drank from that water. Can you say amen? And you know what Jesus said? When you ate of that bread, that was a type of me when I come. amen, to let my body be broken so that you could have the bread of life. And when you receive the word of God, you're receiving the very bread for your soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when you drink, amen, from the things of the Spirit of God, you're drinking from the river of life. That, listen, you can drink spiritually here and now from that river that flows literally from underneath the throne of God. Can you say amen? There is a river, the psalmist said, the streams thereof make glad the city of God. And did you know when that was written? It was written when Israel was under siege by an alien army. They had the city surrounded. No one could come in. No one could come out. But they had already made preparation for the possibility of this kind of an attack from the enemy. There was a stream, a river, a stream, an artesian well flowing up a long way from the city. They had put a clay pipe, like they had a tunnel with clay under the ground from that stream that went under the ground, right under the feet of the enemy out there, waiting for them to die of thirst. Take 40 days to starve you to death. Takes only 3 without water. Amen. So they said 3 or 4 days. Amen. They'll be up there drinking their own urine. There were cities under siege that they did. They drank their own urine. Listen to me. Amen. But they didn't know that God had given them wisdom, and there was an artesian well outside the city. Amen. Where you couldn't even see it, and there was underground a conductor to bring that right up in the midst of the city. So they were in there and outside there thinking, boy, this is day 3. They're all dehydrating now, and they were all in there just drinking that water. Can you say amen? Refreshing themselves. Praise God. Amen. And the psalmist says there is a river. That's where it was written. That's the context of it. Woo! There is a river. Everybody say there's a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. They say, boy, I'm glad we can drink this water. No matter how many enemies are trying to starve us out, this water just keeps bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up. God gave us the Holy Spirit. And he said, after you receive the Holy Spirit, out of your belly, there's a well right here. Come on, the well is not up there. The well is right here. Praise God. Getting it in us isn't the problem. Getting it out is. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Getting you baptized in the Holy Ghost is not a big issue. It's getting the Holy Ghost coming up and flowing out. That is the big issue. But out of where? Out of heaven, in the highest parts of heaven. No! Out of your belly. Everybody got it patted. I'm sure you can find it. Come on now. Can you say amen? It's there. Believe me. Amen. Listen, this is not about your stomach. This is not about your stomach. Come on. This is not about your stomach. This is to the Jew, the belly was the central part of a man. And he believed that the spirit of a man was the central part of him. Can you say, man, his eternal spirit was the center of his life. And out of the center of your being, out of your spirit, where he has been come to live, shall flow rivers of living water springing up unto everlasting life. Can you say amen? What I'm drinking of this morning is the same river that we're going to drink of in heaven, literally. But spiritually, we have that life now. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken or give that same life, that same quality of life to you and to me. If I have an aneurysm because I get too excited, and God says it's time for him to come home anyhow, if I get real excited and my blood pressure spikes, I didn't know that when you lift weights, your blood pressure spikes. I used to lift weights. I used to be a gym rat. Don't look at me now. This is the after. Though this is the before, the after, and this is the after, the before and after. Can you say, man? I'm not a has-been. I'm beyond that. I'm a used-to-was. Can you say? That's pretty bad, ain't it? When you get me, has-been is, I'm past has-been. And when it comes to weightlifting, I'm talking about, I'm a used-to-was. My joints won't take it. My joints just won't take it anymore. Amen. I go in with that psychology to go heavier and heavier, and my old joints say, I'm going to hurt you. You keep doing that, I am going to hurt you because you are hurting me. No pain, no gain. No pain. No pain. Yeah. Let them big old hairy gorilla guys go over there and blow their capillaries. I used to blow my capillaries in my eye. And when I saw an eye all red with bloody because I lifted heavy weight and the capillary had burst. You know, you get over 300 pounds, you put a lot of pressure on your body. When you're a little guy, I was down at 154, 55 pounds. And I got my bench up to a little over 300, 315. Well, four bells, three bells on each side plus the bar. Anyway, about 315 pounds. If my math is correct. 45, 45 times six. Okay. I don't need a calculator. I got a doctor of math right here. He figures all this in his head. Amen. But we won't put him on the spot. Suffice it to say, I bust capillaries in my eye and actually thought that's been a good workout. I really went after it today. There's other things that happen when you do squats, but we won't even go there. We won't even talk about that. You know what I'm talking about. Don't even think about it. It's a bad thing. It's bad. It happens, but it's bad. Amen. George Suarez, he was a gym rat too. He was eating that protein powder without even putting it in enough liquid. He was just eating it. I won't even tell you about that. It's awful. We'll discuss it sometime. It's terrible. Yeah, let's go back. Let's get back. Hallelujah. Let's get it back. I'm excited about Jesus today. Listen to me. They had the gospel preached unto them in type and foreshadow. And Jesus said, remember when they complained so much that God allowed serpents to come in and bite them. And everyone was bitten. Everyone was bitten. That meant Moses was bitten. Even the people that didn't complain were bitten because of the people who did complain.
Yes, sir.
Amen? I don't like to be around people that complain all the time. Because when the snakes come, I don't want to be there. Because snakes don't care. Snakes don't say, you've been complaining?
No.
No? Okay. Okay, I'll bite him. No. They don't care. The snakes flat don't care. Listen, there's over 2 million, pushing 3 million people came out of Egypt. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what kind of snake den they hit. It don't take 3 million snakes to bite 3 million people, but it takes some active snakes with one thing on their mind, just put venom in as many people as I can. And they came and injected that venom. And Jesus said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. When they were all bitten, for time's sake, I'll tell you the story and give you the scripture reference. When they were all bitten, and poison was in all of them, and all of them are now dying, and they know it. There's no way to recover. When they were all bitten, they said, Moses, do something. God, save us. And God told Moses, said, I want you to take a wooden pole. I want you to take brass and melt it. And I want you to make a serpent. Amazing thing for healing to come through that. That was the very thing that had bit them and put the poison in them. Come on. Make a serpent and take that serpent and let it cool attached to that pole and lift that pole up to all of Israel where everyone can see that will look. Everyone who will look can see. I'm telling you, everybody that will look to Jesus for salvation can be saved. No one needs to be lost. Hallelujah. Because God is lifting him up and we're lifting him up. Listen. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He said that like the rock. Listen, the rock that followed them at Jacob's well, a woman is drawing water, and the living water, the one that the fulfillment of that type is right there in John chapter 4. Woman, if you drink from that well, you will thirst again. But if you knew who it was that you said, give me here, that said unto you, give me here to drink, you would ask of me, I'd give you living water, and you would never thirst again. Can you say, man, from the time you drink it, that rock follows you. Amen. Lo, I'm with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Can you say, man? The question isn't, is there living water? Is there refreshing water? Is there a river whose streams can make you glad? Yes, there is. The question is, are you drinking from that river? Are you still trying to drink from the fountains of the world that run dry? Broken cisterns that can hold no water. Can you say, man? I don't just come to church to keep in good with God, keep my foot in the door. I come to eat the bread from heaven. I come to participate in that living water in worship. Hallelujah. Can you say, to have a God encounter with the Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. So they made the serpent of brass, fashioned it. Aaron was good. He's the same one that fashioned the golden calf. He was good with molten metal. And God said to Moses, everybody that looks are going to live. Everybody that looks is going to live. And there's a serpent of brass. Brass, the feet of Jesus in the book of Revelation as he comes to judge the earth are as brass. The altar in the temple where the sacrifice was offered for sin is called the brazen altar. It was an altar of brass. Brass represents judgment. Amen. The very thing, Jesus was going to become the very thing that hurt us so bad so that we could be healed. He was going to take the venom. He was going to take it upon himself so that we could be healed. He deserves more than a nod every now and then. He deserves everything. He deserves our all. Amen. He became sin. The Bible said in the New Testament, Brother Taylor, that knew no sin. He took our sin. He never sinned, but he took our sin upon himself and was judged for our sin. He that knew no sin became sin. That's why it was a type of Jesus. The very thing that was hurting them, he became. I heard of a dad who's working with his son in a field way out in the country, and a big diamondback bit the child. And the dad, who had bad teeth, a lot of cavities, poor farm family, couldn't afford the dentistry, no insurances. He cut the wound and sucked the poisoned blood out. But in the process of sucking the blood out, it got in his cavities. And the dad died later that night. But the last thing he said was, if I had it to do over again, knowing what it would cost me in order to save my child, I'd gladly do it again. When that child grew up, he became a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every time he wanted to drive home the reason we ought to love him like no one or nothing else, he would tell that story because he said, I'll never forget what my father, my earthly dad, did for me. He took the poison so that I could be healed. And he gave his life so that I could live mine. And I'll never forget him, and I'll never forget what he done, and I'll never get up a day without gratitude in my heart. Every day that I live and raise my family, I thank my dad for what he's done. And he said, when I became a Christian, I transferred that on a greater level to God, because that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Can you say amen? He that knew no sin became sin. He became the curse. For cursed is everyone that what? Hangeth on a tree. God hath laid on him. The Bible said, all we like sheep have went astray, but God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The only reason God can forgive you and still be a holy God and a God of justice is if he's judged your sin already. Amen. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid on Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Can you say amen? All of us, everybody had the poison in them. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. But God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Can you say amen? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The price has been paid for every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet. That's why when we make a radio broadcast and the last thing I say, amen, I don't say it to God. I say it to the Holy Spirit. I've already talked to God in Jesus' name. I say, Holy Spirit, let's go fishing. Can you say amen? Let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Why? Because Jesus said, come and follow me and I'll make you pastors of churches so you can arbitrate everybody's problems. So that you can keep people petted to coming. So that you can, I'll make you fishers of men. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So I say, Lord, let's go fishing. Praise God. And all those little pins in that world map and the United States, Doug said, is in no way representative of the people coming to the website. It can't begin to represent. If you see one pin, amen, in China, in a city in China, know that there may be 15 or 20 hits from that one pin, and it's continuing to go on. And by the way, this started before we even started keeping records. This goes way back. God is doing something. Hallelujah. Don't ask the Holy Spirit to go fishing unless you're willing to get in the boat and get out in that lake. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is doing something, Sister Venom. Amen. I thought at one time God was going to just put me out to pasture. Pastor. Amen. But he put me out to pastor. Amen. Praise God. He heard me wrong. I said, listen, God is still God. The old timers used to say, I thank God I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And they didn't stop with that. And got the go ye in my heart. And got the go ye in my heart. And got the go ye. What go ye? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But go tell them. Give them the opportunity because the price has been paid. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Even as that type of the very thing that hurt them, Jesus became that had put its poison in us. Amen. Look unto me and live, God said in the Old Testament. Yeah. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author, and looking unto Him in a particular way. Looking unto Him dying for us on the cross. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted. I'm going to read this quickly. One more scripture. We're going to move to Holy Communion. It said, and they journeyed from Mount Hor, by the way, this is in Numbers 21:4, by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Tell me about it. Amen. Listen carefully. And the people spake against God. Satan's chief aim in discouragement is to get you to accuse God. That's the ultimate goal of discouragement. Can you say amen? To get you to question and accuse the very one you need to help you. Hallelujah. That's why I was teaching you about waiting on the Lord. So you don't take a number, sit down, and after a day or two or a month, start accusing God of being unfaithful. Listen to me. God wants you to keep persevering so He can do what He wants to do in your life. Give Him the opportunity. Praise God. Amen. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Well, why not? Amen. You can't see God, but you can see the leader. So just lay it on the leader. Amen. I've had people ask me all kinds of questions that I can't answer. And it's my great privilege to say, you'll have to ask God about it. I told somebody the other day, I said, when you get to heaven, you ask Him about that. There's a song we even sing on a good day when we're having a good time. We'll understand it better by and by. I'll ask the reason. He'll tell me why. By and by. Can you say amen? So I don't understand everything now, but I understand what He did for me on the cross. And because I understand what he did for me on the cross, I'm persuaded that nothing, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Devils can't and angels won't. Hallelujah. Circumstances come that I don't understand, but I understand the cross. And I know that God hasn't abandoned me. And I know that God loves me. And I know that if I wait upon the Lord, I'm not going to stay down. Are you still here today? The people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread that was the manna. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel had died, and others were dying. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. God's going to do something better than taking away the serpents. He's going to neutralize the poison. Everybody say, neutralize the poison. There's a hint of what happened here spiritually when it says, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. Listen to me carefully. This is very powerful. Amen. This is their plan. Take away the snakes. Well, what about the people that are already bitten? Like everybody. Just getting rid of the snake don't deal with the poison. Just forgiving your sin doesn't deal with the iniquity. That's why he was wounded for our transgressions, but it didn't stop. Salvation goes deeper. He was bruised for our iniquity. And that's the evil intentions of that unregenerate heart that caused you to sin in the first place. God said, I don't just give you a root canal. We're going to have an extraction here. Can you say, man? We're going to trade the old for the new. Listen to me. I'll take away the heart of stone and I'll replace it with a heart of flesh. Praise God. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, and take the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass, when every one that is bitten shall look upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. He lived. He lived. He lived. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And the only way God could save us is if our sin was judged in a completely pure, innocent victim. That's why when John saw him, he didn't see the great prophet, the great king. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then Jesus went on to say, in the book of John, and it's so wonderful and so powerful. Amen. This is the gospel, the core of the gospel in verse 32 of John 12. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying the death that he would die. What death did he die? He died the death of one who is taking another's place and another's punishment. God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Therefore, I will appoint unto him a portion with the great. I will put him on the top of the list of worthy ones to be honored, praised, and served. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't believe in phony Christian. Listen, nobody's perfect in here. You're going to have a struggle with the flesh until Jesus comes. But I'm going to tell you something. When I see people struggling with the flesh, that means they're seeking to serve God. Can you say, man, when the fight stops, you stop. If there's a raging battle going on between your flesh and your spirit, vive la battle. Amen. That's a good sign. That's a sign of a healthy soul. You say, Brother Venable, I've been fighting. Paul said, I do it every day. Every day. We were taught years ago, you get saved, then you get sanctified. That's it. You got it. You don't need no more. Amen. That's why the altar stayed empty and the church got stymied and stagnant. Can you say, man, Paul said, I sanctify myself every single day. Sanctify means to sanctify in Scripture. It's akin to the word holiness. It means cleansed, set apart unto God for a holy purpose. He said, I come to have my heart cleansed and to give myself to God. for a holy purpose every single day. And he said, the fight that I'm fighting, everybody loves to blame the devil for everything.
Yeah.
It's an easy way out. It's a way of not crucifying your flesh and not dealing effectively with it. Amen. It's Flip Wilson theology. Flip Wilson used to play, what was the, Geraldine?
Yeah.
Remember Flip Wilson? How many remember Flip Wilson? Okay, some of y'all need to watch the Oldies channel sometime so you can get on the same page with us. Amen. Flip Wilson played, you know, he put on a dress and played this woman, Flip Wilson, Geraldine, and went to this expensive boutique and bought this dress that cost, oh, extravagant amount of money. Had to come home and tell the husband, of course, this is a guy in drag, but that's not unusual now. Back then it was funny. Now it's just, you know, different strokes for different folks, can you say? But anyway, he come home and he said, you know, he said, why'd you do that? He said, the devil made me do it. He said, well, why didn't you resist the devil? He said, I did, but he pulled a gun. He made me do it. I'm sorry I slapped your face and called you that name and spit on you. But the devil made me do it. I have no responsibility. You know how the devil is. No. 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 That won't wash with God. Can you say, man? God goes deeper than just the transgression. He goes for the heart. That caused us to transgress. And he says, I want to take that heart of stone and I want to take a heart of flesh and put in there a heart that can feel. None of us are going to be perfect. All of us are going to struggle with the flesh. Paul said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. Everybody say shadow box. Have you ever seen one of those kung fu expositions? Kung fu guy? And he does an exposition. He's showing you his moves. Of course, he has no opponent. And they all work well without an opponent. Isn't it great? I mean, they work so well. I mean, well, that's kind of, I'd never make a good kung fu guy. I'd holler like that and they'd start laughing. The whole thing would be over. At least I'd disarm my enemy with laughter. Can you? I know kung fu and they go through all these moves. Don't get too brave. I mean, in the real world, come on, let's talk about the real world. You're shadow boxing. It works great without an opponent.
Yeah.
Amen. Without an opponent, a target for all of that. Amen. But you let somebody, I worked with a guy on a loading dock. He unloaded red meat. Trucks come in, he grabbed that hanging beef. And he unloaded that all day long. I mean, he didn't have to go to no gym. He had them arms. He had that chest. He was cut. He wasn't overweight. And he used to go to the bars down on 22nd and Lake down in that area. I used to go down there and play pool down there after midnight, back in the back room somewhere. There's a man that white boy could play. They let me win two or three games. Amen. Then they want to play for money. I got in my car and boogied when they wanted to play for money. I knew what they were doing. Amen. But anyway, he got down in one of those bars, and it was in the wee hours, and everybody was drinking, and everybody liquored up. And a guy said something to him, and he said something to the guy, and he rose up because now he's been waiting. He's been practicing. He's ready for his kung fu. I remember when this happened, amen, because everybody wanted to hear the story. What'd you do to him? How'd you take him down? Because when he came, he had this big gash over his eye. He had about 20 stitches. And we thought, you know, we thought we were going to hear, you ought to see the other guy. But when he was very honest. He's kind of humbled, you know. And there was a guy told us what happened, actually. Amen. That was there with him. He said this guy said something to him. He didn't like it. He said one of them old, he called him a wine head. He said one of them old wine heads down there drinking that old Thunderbird. Hush, y'all. Y'all hush. We're going to tell on ourselves. Can you say amen? It'll make you crazy. Can you say amen? Come on, Brother Taylor. Give me an amen. Anyway, praise God. Thank God for saving us. Aren't you glad we're saved here today? Glory to God. I'm not talking about a Ford Thunderbird either for the rest of you folks. Can you say amen? Anyway, old winehead down there, you said, old winehead had him a wine bottle and about half full. And this guy, he broke into his kung fu. He broke into his kung fu. He thought, boy, I'm going to get to show everybody in this bar my kung fu. I've been lifting that. I got these muscles. I got these skills. I've been watching Bruce Lee on television. Can you say amen? And he went into one of these, Like that. When he went like that, that old wine, he took that wine bottle and let her rip. Threw it. He didn't hit him with it. He threw it. Hit him right between the eyes. Knocked him flat unconscious. Had to go to the hospital and get 20 stitches. Last thing he remembered was, ah! We laughed for 6 months over that. Amen. His wife finally shot him and killed him. It was honestly, his wife killed him about a year later. Amen. Listen. You need to understand. Your real opponent, amen, is not just the devil. Your real opponent is the flesh. Paul said, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not putting on an exposition of my skills when I talk in tongues and talk about the Holy Ghost and pray for some people. He said, I sanctify myself daily. I don't fight as one that beats the air, but I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. Can you say amen? My flesh is my target, because when I defeat my flesh, the devil can't defeat me. Can you say, man, give no ground to the devil? That's why Jesus died for our transgressions and for our iniquities. Praise the Lord. When we change the heart and the mind, we can drag the body along. Can you say, man, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The things that I would do, Paul said, how to do it, I find not. Who will deliver me from this body of sin? I thank God through Jesus Christ. There's victory for you today. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on yourself with God's help. Give up on yourself real quick before you come to Christ. But don't give up on yourself after you've come to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God is doing a work in you folks. He's doing a work in me. And it's a wonderful work. Praise the Lord. We've made a great exchange. This is the glory of the cross. This is the story of the gospel. This is the blessed assurance of the believer. We've exchanged our guilt, our sin debt, for his innocence. It was my sin that God judged in Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. Here's the exchange. He takes our sin, our guilt, our shame, and we receive his sinless standing before God. Sin's power over us is broken by his sacrifice. Amen. He was made to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He took it. He didn't have to do that, but he loved us enough to do it. That's why Jesus said, you remember when that snake, brazen serpent was on that pole? He said, the Son of Man is going to have to die the same kind of substitutionary, sacrificial death. But I'm going to that cross, that wooden pole. I'm going to be lifted and suspended on it. And if I be lifted up from the earth, that message of Jesus and him crucified, not come to Jesus and get wealth, but come to Jesus and get saved. Yes. Come to Jesus and get eternal life. Come to Jesus and be the recipient of the most precious item in all of the universe, and that's the blood that he shed on that cross. And your Father knows about the, he knows you need a ride, and he knows you need clothes, and he knows you need food. And Jesus said, take ye no thought about those things. Seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Everything else God will see to, he will take care of. Can you say, man, been doing that now for all of these years? Got saved at 21, really saved at 21. Now I'm 64. God has never failed. Amen. And we didn't have to seek anything. We just kept seeking him and his kingdom and his righteousness. And the Lord took care of the rest. And he's still doing it. I have no reason to doubt that he's not going to keep doing it if I keep my priorities. There are people, amen, that are giving up church and giving up ministries and giving up callings because they think the dollar is more important than the kingdom. And if they only would put the kingdom first and prove God, God would show them that if they'll put the kingdom first, they're not going to lack. If they put the kingdom first, they're not going to do without. If they put the kingdom first, God is going to be their provider, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Can you say amen? And having food and raiment that he provides and him and his kingdom first and eternal life, be therefore content. Never look envious at anybody again. Glory be to God. Amen. This is good stuff. Hallelujah. It's time to receive Holy Communion and to prepare for Holy Communion as they come to service. We have a global outreach now. God has decided to take it beyond these walls. And so let's prepare our hearts for communion by worshiping with a Pentecostal church in the United Kingdom today. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord.